podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sense. You put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe. You see, you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where Australia needed somebody to stand up in the test against Sri Lanka, but only Jeff Lemon was volunteering, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Can you tell Jeff Lemon to sit down in the yellow? The batsman is frustrated, please.
That was David Warner. I misspoke in the introduction there. It wasn't Jeff Lemon, of course. It was Jeff Lemon.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Yeah. You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke. And David Warner stepping in on behalf of the Sri Lanka batters there to say, Jeff, sit down.
Well, I mean, you've got to stand up at work. Always being told if you sit down for too long, it's a fast road to death.
Yes.
You do need to stand up from time to time. And I'm sure that, you know, just if your watch tells you time to stand up, it's time to stand up.
Yep. Jeff's watch no doubt told him to stand up. So up he stood and continued his commentating. And Dave Warner just needed to chill out for a bit, let Jeff do some commentating. Then you could continue on.
And Jeff is very tall.
He is very tall. He's very imposing and very distracting. I've often been distracted by Jeff. So let's get into it, shall we?
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the second test between Sri Lanka, the second and last test between Sri Lanka and Australia.
Yeah, so a good win to Sri Lanka, levelling the series 1-1. And as you say, that's it. No decider. We'll just call it even. We'll share a Moose Cup trophy and that'll be the end of it.
Yep.
So what were some highlights of the test for you?
Well, more interesting than Sri Lanka versus Australia was the traditional tussle between Glenn Maxwell and Mitchell Starc.
This was wild, wasn't it? This was Pat Cummins just before a day before, I think he came out in the press and said, all right, look, it's not Travis Head v Glenn Maxwell for the spot. It's actually Glenn Maxwell v Mitchell Starc for the final spot in the team. Very
good to
exciting.
Mix it up.
Yeah. So Pat just teased us a little bit. He said, if we need the extra spinner, it'll be Maxi, and Mitch can have a rest on the sideline. I noticed that Pat doesn't put himself up for stepping down at any point.
It's fair enough.
Yeah. So, but in the end, of course, it was Mitchell Starc who got the nod, and probably a good thing, seeing as he's pretty much the only one who took any wickets for Australia. But that didn't stop Twitter from using a giant picture of Glenn Maxwell in the baggy green as their teaser image for the test, prompting a little bit of annoyance for those of us who might have liked to have seen Glenn have a chance.
A definite teaser there. Yes, for sure. Yes. But anyway, what else happened? Steve Smith's got a century.
Yeah, that was a bit surprising, wasn't it? He's been stuck on 27 for so long, but he's now bumped up to 28, just like his mate Joe Root. Joe said, I'm going up to 28. So Steve said, yeah, I'll go along too. So, I can only assume that the last 18 months he's just been hanging on 27 because, he wanted Joe to catch up to him. And Joe was a long way behind. So I was like, come on, Joe, hurry up.
Yeah.
Very good. Lovely lad is Steve Smith.
Well, I mean, Joe could well take over now and go leaps and bounds ahead, but we'll wait and see.
Yes.
What else happened?
Well, Australia set fire to as many reviews as they possibly could. They were pyromaniacs, review pyromaniacs. They decided when they were fielding, when they were batting, whatever they were doing, they were just going to, I don't know, I don't want that to be out, or I do want that to be out. It doesn't matter whether it's likely to be or not. We're just going to make the T gesture and see what happens. So, but that was mostly when they were fielding and when they were batting in the second innings. In the first innings, they managed to have one review up their sleeve. So when Would have been Swepson was the last man out.
Yeah.
He was out LBW, as so many players were, and he was able to make the tee. And despite the fact that he was reviewing, he and Steve Smith both just wandered off while the poor old third umpire had to go through the full process, you know, checking whether there was an edge, checking hotspot,
well,
doing the ball
tracker.
They're off the changed into their
missed out on kit. A shower if you wait around too long for the review process.
And I think a few of the Sri Lanka batters did the same. By the time the Sri Lanka innings finally came to an end on that fourth morning, the Australian batters were shaking Dinesh Chandimal's hand, saying, congratulations, really good double century, even while theoretically the innings could still have been going on.
Yep.
So I like this turn of events.
But it's good that Pat Cummins is using up all his reviews. You may as well use everything in your arsenal when you're a new captain.
Yeah,
correct?
Yeah. He loves it too. And I had a theory that maybe it was just like a time-saving mechanism. So, because as soon as you burn all your reviews, you don't have to wait 15 seconds after each appeal gets turned down.
Yep.
You can just get on with it, just bowl your next delivery.
Yeah.
And that must save time over the long run.
It's
much more likely to bowl their overs. I don't think they did bowl their overs.
No.
But, you know, imagine how much further behind they would have been if they had been wasting 15 seconds after each appeal.
Yes, that's right. Dangerous. You can definitely lose test points there. And you can't take these reviews home on the plane.
No.
You use them all. Pretty sure reviews are a restricted item for
they
airlines. Not allowed to take them on board.
Yeah. I mean, you do have, you can declare them, but I'm pretty sure customs, they just have a look and say, no, you can't take that in Australia, mate.
No way.
No.
But
of course, Australia, one of the perhaps most infamous reviews that they didn't have was the one where Chandimal was caught behind and was given not out and they didn't have a review. This was very early on. They burnt them with only two or three wickets down. They said, we don't want any of them. And Chandimal, of course, went on to completely Chandimal them, smashing a double century and giving Sri Lanka a first innings lead of 180, which in the end was more than enough for an innings victory.
Yeah, and Australia, of course, collapsed. They lost 9 wickets in the final session of the fourth day. We thought it was going to go to 5 days. Mm. Didn't get there.
Yep. But there was some spectacular reviewing again. Mostly Steve Smith, I think, was the highlight of this. David Warner reviewed one, which was pretty plum as well. But Smith's was very plum, but he still managed to talk Marnus into letting him review it. I think Smith, there was a time when it kind of made sense to, because Smith scored more than half the runs. It's just well, you can have half the review, Smith.
Every time
you're out, you can have a review. And I think he probably figured because he scored more than a third of the runs in the first innings, maybe he just, you know, could default to having a review this time, no matter how plum it was. That theory didn't really hold water when Marnus asked Cameron Green for a review a bit later. Green just said, that's out.
You're on your
bike, Marnus, you're out. I'm not letting you steal one of my potential reviews.
Good work, Cameron Green.
Should he be in charge of all the reviews from now on?
Well, he's got a good vantage point,
Excellent vantage point. He can. I'm not sure whether, I mean, I guess it's like one of those drones, but I'm not sure that's a great vantage point for much.
Maybe
boundaries is probably the only thing he could get a clearer view on.
Yeah, well, you can be in charge of them.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yes. I think my favourite thing about the Australia's collapse was that Prabhat Jayasuriya took 6 for 118 in the first innings and then Chris Silverwood presumably said to him in the innings break, you know, look, 6 was good, but 118 is a bit too many. Can you, like, halve that maybe? And he came out and precisely halved it in the second inning, 6 for 59 in the second, which was fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yes, and of course it is good to see that Chris Silverwood is finally able to find a team capable of beating Australia.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this week's episode is sponsored by Logic Puzzles. So in my most recent Friday first drafts, I came up with 6 riddles. So if you like logic puzzles about the Australian cricket team, then you should go check that out.
Of course, this will keep the part of your brain, you know, logic puzzles keep your brain active as you age.
Yep.
We know that the demographic of our podcast is pushing at least into double
80.
Figures. Yeah. So if your brain is aging and you want to protect your brain, or at least the part of your brain that is related to cricket, this will really help, won't it?
Yeah. So here's a sample riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Which Australian cricketer walks on 4 legs in the morning, 2 legs in the afternoon and 3 legs in the evening? And the answer is, of course, an Australian cricketer doesn't walk. Grow up. So there you go. To track that down and all the other riddles, go to my Twitter profile. That's @LeibCricket. Click the link there to read it and good luck solving the puzzles.
I am an ECB marketing droid and I have created the optimal form of cricket.
What's 10 times 10?
How many balls are there in 16.4 overs?
What's the greatest cricket tournament the world has ever seen?
The 100.
The 100.
The 100.
The 100.
Of course, we love the segment about the 100. We bring it back at all opportunities.
Yeah, given any opportunity. And the opportunity this time is, of course, that there was a fake IPL that's just been revealed. And this is absolutely magnificent. So this is a group of con men who set up a YouTube channel which showed basically them playing cricket on a farm and pretending that it was the actual IPL. And streaming it into Russia where poor Russian people tried to gamble on it and presumably lost all their money. So it was a very detailed con. I very much enjoyed it.
Fantastic. Cricket con. It's a very niche area.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely got a movie written all over it. I think they've all been arrested now, which is a shame. We should just bail them out and make a 10-part Netflix series about it. Because they had a fake Harsher Bogley commentating. They had all kinds of things. They had some kind of walkie-talkie system where the director would tell the umpire to signal a six or a four or a wicket and just depending on what they could get the most money for and that they never cut to show the non-existent crowd. They just showed crowd noise coming over the ground.
Amazing.
And I love that the fact that everybody was enough people were taken in to make this very elaborate con worthwhile.
And this of course must link back to the 100 somehow.
I'm just wondering whether are we 100% certain that the 100 isn't the exact same thing. There's a lot of fishy stuff going on around the 100. I mean, it's...
That would be designed to trick everyone in England out of all of their money. That's quite believable.
There's a lot of money being spent by the ECB on the 100. I'm not entirely convinced. I'm not sure who's running the con, whether it's the ECB, whether it's whoever invented the 100.
The ECB marketing drone.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes, yes. So, there's all kinds of clues now in retrospect that this could be. They dress as packets of crisps. I don't know whose idea that was. That doesn't seem like a real thing.
That's definitely made up.
They don't even know how many balls are in an over.
They're
bowling five balls an over. So it's pretty amazing they've got away for so long given, it's very, very obviously fake, this entire 100 thing.
Yeah, well, they haven't been arrested them yet.
No.
But they may do now. After we've exposed them here in this this true crime podcast of ours.
This is an exclusive. I hope it gets picked up by all the major media.
Yeah.
100, obviously fake. Someone should look into it. But now the cat's out of the bag, I think this is also the way forward for the BBL, right?
It could be.
So, because they've got plenty of people who have presumably BBL kit at home. They've, they're all those random COVID subs, just random, third grade cricketers they found and shoehorned into Glenn Maxwell's side when everybody went down with COVID. So I think they just find those dudes, set them out in a backyard somewhere and give them a hit put it on, a streaming iPhone and off you go.
It's a good marketing opportunity, good business plan there.
I mean, Channel 7 might complain, but I'm not sure anybody else is going to notice the difference.
Well, no one's going to notice if Channel 7 complains. They're complaining about things every 5 minutes anyway.
Yeah. So I think that's good. Now, one other thing I did like in the fake IPL, one of the teams was called the Chennai Fighters. And I love that on multiple levels because presumably I don't know why they changed the name. If they changed the name because they were worried about being sued for copyright, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But that was the only thing they were worried about.
A con man code of ethics that they're trying to comply with there.
Yeah. So anyway, the Chennai Fighters, I look forward to, the Hobart Sharknaders or whatever coming into action.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
This is, of course, the Scott Moeller Award, or as we pronounce it in Australia, the Scott Moeller Award. This celebrates the wonderful and strange and ridiculous things that we haven't got to earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Everything else gets thrown into this segment, including a humongous-sized Rishabh Pant. Where did we find him?
Yeah, so this is some kind of promo to publicise the World T20. The marketing campaign is something like, the giants of world cricket are going to be here. And they've decided to make this very literal by doing a clip of some poor dude out fishing on Sydney Harbour, which I don't think is a great place to be fishing anyway.
No.
And they're suddenly startled to see this giant Rishabh Pant just emerge from the ocean and stampede through Sydney, knocking down buildings as he goes, just causing havoc.
There's clearly a Marvel fan there who's developed this. It's a wonderful, wonderful ad, actually. It's just so spectacular. It's really realistic as he wades through the Sydney Harbour and crashes through the shores of Sydney. Yeah. It's such a wonderful ad. It's crazy and it's brilliant.
Yep. I love the idea of a giant Rishabh Pant, who is traditionally one of the shorter individuals in the Indian cricket team, but not in this one. And I think this is obviously the natural end point of, you know, some kind of Cameron Green tall cricketer arms race. Mm. We end up with giant, monstrous Indian cricketers just storming out of the ocean to destroy us all.
Well, it'd be very hard to bowl to them. You had to get the ball up over above their eye line, right? Yep. So Sri Lanka, they're doomed. They're not getting six wickets again against these, no matter who they're playing.
Yeah, no, we definitely need to send Jeff Lemon in to fight this giant Rishabh Pant.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be able to bring him down. Godzilla v. Kong style.
Yep, definitely.
I've got another one. I've got this was sent to us by a few people. A lot of people were very excited because there was a wicket in the Vitality Blast where Phil Salt was stumped by Michael Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people thought, oh, isn't that great? Send that in. I'm not even sure why they thought it was Mullerworthy. I mean, Phil and Mike, they're very common names.
So yes,
I'm not sure what they're for. I mean, even the band Genesis has a Phil and a Mike, and they're you know, very mediocre band.
Is there a band called Salt and Pepper?
Oh, there is indeed. Yeah, maybe that's what it was all about.
I think it's a band. End reference.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, so maybe that's what they were going on about.
Oh, well, I've got another one here.
Yep.
This is Richard Kettleborough telling Stuart Broad to shut up.
Yeah, I think I've actually got a clip of this. Okay. Let me see if I can track this down.
That little studio umpire, you do the batting, all right? Or else you're going to get into trouble again. Just one city over. Guys, one on your drop, Brody, get on with the batting and shut up.
Anyone telling anyone to shut up should always be in a beautiful northern English accent. That's the only way to tell someone to shut up.
Yep. So, yeah, that was fantastic. That was, Richard Kettleborough just basically telling, you know, you do the batting, Stuart Broad, which is always a good advice because Stuart Broad, one of the most entertaining batters in the world.
Yeah.
And he'll do the umpiring.
Well, so it seems like traditional.
Stuart Broad does love a good umpire himself a fair bit as well, but Kettleborough's not having it. So, I think this is probably another step in the great Stuart Broad robot wars, because we have long suspected that Kettleborough is a robot. He's certainly got superhuman accuracy filters on his eyes and ears and all
bionic
kinds of
ball tracking in his eyes.
Yeah, so I think this is, you know, yet another step in the robot wars.
Stop moving the robot!
There you go. So we look forward to see where this goes to next.
Yeah, we always need a new segment called Stop Moving the Robot.
I did think of doing a jingle for that, but it was I didn't have time.
No, we're not sure how many more times robots will emerge. It seems inevitable, though.
Yeah, it does. Stuart Broad certainly is in charge of it. I mean, we've got a segment delivered by a series of robotic voices. So.
Yep.
Yeah, they're taking over the world. Also taking over the world is New Zealand Cricket, who've decided that they are going to provide pay parity between men and women. So
fantastic.
All ODIs, all T20s and all tests.
Huh.
They're all going to be evenly paid, whether you're a man or a woman.
So fantastic.
I think that's very good. And one minor challenge is that they tend not to let the women play any tests.
No, that's right.
But so that's probably just a minor asterisk on that particular story.
Let's hope there's more tests coming. But fantastic news, though, for New Zealand.
Yes.
Cricket. Let's hope the others all follow. And we have four. We don't have any more, Mullers?
I don't have any more,
no. So that's four. We've got the giant Rishabh Pant. We've got Phil Salt and Michael Pepper. We have Richard Kettleborough telling Stuart Broad to shut up, which is hard to beat.
Mm.
And also New Zealand cricket. You know, we don't want to give them the mullah because that's actually a positive. So which one would you like to give them?
I think the giant Rishabh Pant, because it's just so terrifying and but entertaining. So I think Rishabh Pant, I'm sure Rishabh Pant's won multiple mullahs before, but I'm very pleased to give the giant version of him
so
another
one.
So
we should. More Rishabh Pant at all times. The bigger the better.
Yep. So I think that pretty much wraps us up for another week. So
yeah, apologies to people who, you know, don't like us doing a 15 to 20 minute podcast, but that's what you're getting to today.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. I'm at Leib Cricket on Twitter. Kat is at Cricket Back Kat. And together we are at Cart Bowl Throw. And if you follow the Cart Bowl Throw one, you usually get a heads up on what's going to be on the Muller during the week, because we tend to retweet all the interesting things there to remind us what we need to talk about. And of course, we're also on Facebook if you happen to find your way in there. Search for Can't Bowl, Can't Throw, and we will see you all next week.
See ya.
Can't bowl,
Social Podcast Network.